the Pastor's Heart and Dominic Steele, and the COVID crisis and proactive leadership with Guy Mason. What kind of long-term changes should we expect in church life coming out of COVID? And how can we, as pastors of churches, be proactive and not reactive as we move forward? Half of Australia is under lockdown as we go to air. In Victoria, the COVID case numbers are on the rise, and pretty much in New South Wales where we are, they seem out of control. Guy Mason, the senior pastor of City on a Hill Church, he's based in Melbourne, Victoria, and they've got campuses in Melbourne, Geelong, Brisbane, the Surf Coast, Gold Coast, and soon to be one in Wollongong. Guy, thanks for joining us. And I just wondered first if we could go to your pastor's heart during this long season, both last year and this year. What has God been doing to you?
Well, it's good to be with you, Dominic. I appreciate the opportunity to connect with you and your listeners. It's been an interesting season, hasn't it? And there are many reflections that come to mind, I think, about my own heart in this time. You know, it's an anxious time, isn't it, for so many? And I think pastors are often pastors because they care deeply about people and they love people and they're used to doing life with people. And so I think as a pastor, a piece of your heart breaks, doesn't it, when you see people struggling and doing life tough, and when people are anxious and fearful, when people are concerned, when people lose jobs or can't connect with their family or are living alone, single, in their own house, their own apartment. For me, you know, part of my heart breaks over that. It breaks over the sadness of it all and what that does to humanity and to people and people's hopes and dreams and plans. So there's certainly a sense of lament in that. I also find in my heart a great love for God and the gospel. I feel this season for me has really reaffirmed just how beautiful, how true, how relevant Jesus is. Because one of the things I think we're seeing, Dominic, is, you know, really all of the things that we put our hope in, all of the various, you know, you might say some of the idols that we put our trust in our culture, all the things that we look to find our meaning and significance, so many of those things have been taken away and disrupted. And the gospel is the one thing you see that stands the test. It holds up. The gospel is the one thing that keeps us secure in who we are and the relationship we have in God. And it's this gospel that stands up and rings so true in a time like this.
What have been the up and downs that you've been on over the 12, 15 months? And I mean, you were saying to me last week that Melbourne felt like Gotham City at the moment. But but you personally, what have been the up and downs?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, for all leaders and pastors and for me personally, it's stepping into the unknown. You know, there's so much that you assume in life. There's so much that we take for granted in life. And COVID has completely disrupted that, hasn't it, Dominic? And it's, you know, it brings to mind that verse from James, you know, if the Lord wills, we will do such and such. And, you know, I think we've said that flippantly previously. Now I really feel that because ministry in this time has changed dramatically. I mean, there we were gathering physically on Sundays with plans and ministries and good initiatives, and then all of a sudden so much of that work has to stop.
What have you done to lead and care for the staff team? And what are you doing at the moment to lead and care for the staff team? And I'm presuming on your team there's a whole range of different anxiety levels and stresses.
I think I'm mindful of a quote, and I think it was Napoleon, but it could have been someone else, which is, you know, great leaders define reality and then give hope. And I think there's great wisdom in the both end there. I think we're at our best, or I'm definitely at my best when I can lean into the reality of the moment. And so trying hard to really listen to where people are and what their struggles, and not just assuming that they're getting through or they're doing fine, but taking time to slow down to connect with people and to talk with people about how they're going. So not just talking about what projects you're working on, what's the next ministry thing you're doing, but really, really trying the best you can to prayerfully and personally connect in. And sometimes, as you know, Dominic, that can be as simple as a phone call. We're obviously limited in what we can do in this time, but sometimes a phone call, connecting with someone, can make a massive, massive difference. It's great for me to be able to connect with a staff person. I love the staff. I love connecting with them. And I hope and pray that that's an opportunity to listen and to lean in and to acknowledge the reality. And the reality is that for some people, it is really, really hard. They're tired. They're weary. They feel alone. That's not the case with everybody. So being able to enter in and to find and acknowledge that that reality is important. But then, of course, I think the role of a leader is to then give hope. I feel my role and responsibility is to be anchored in the hope of the gospel and lifting our eyes to who Jesus is and what he has promised, and that the gospel is good news, and it's good news in all seasons, and particularly in a season like this. So as a pastor, that means I want to be opening up the scriptures with the staff team. I want to be bringing God into the conversation, whether it be a phone call or a meeting. I want to be leading in prayer in my own life, in my own heart, praying, and then calling them and one another to be praying place.
Last year we spoke to Adam Lowe, and he talked about the importance of adaptive change and using the COVID environment for adaptive change and not just springing back to where we were. How, as a result of all this, are you seeing City on a Hill and Christian ministry in general being different to how we were before? And where are you leading towards now? How can we be proactive at this point?
It's a bit of a cliche, Dominic, but it rings true, I think, in ministry, and that COVID has really taught people, you know, whether in ministry or not, to really think about what's important, what's truly important, because so much of life has been taken away, and it's really caused people to think about what really matters. And I think that's really pertinent, relevant for pastors to consider what is really important, because I think, you know, in a big church, in growing churches, really any church, there is a temptation to just fill the calendar with a whole bunch of things and just to keep doing what you were doing because that's what you were doing. COVID is this disruptor to that and causes us to really think about what is truly, you know, important. So one of the revelations for me, at least, is I think the focus on discipleship is going to be really, really important going into the future. Now, this could just be an expression of where I am and the church that I'm part of, but I think it's something that will be so important for Christians everywhere, and that is that call to that central, you know, Great Commission, go and make disciples. The times we are in are incredibly challenging, and it calls for a church that truly gets and grasps the significance of who God is and what it means to follow him and how we as the bride of Christ can grow in our affection and our obedience of Jesus, that, you know, God might change us day by day to be more and more like Jesus. So I'm really passionate about that, Dominic, and I think this season has really, you know, birthed in my heart a great desire to really focus and prioritize on, firstly and primarily for myself, to grow to become more and more like Jesus and to seek that and to long for holiness and sanctification and to pursue that and to see that in the church.
We were chatting on the phone a week or two ago, and you said to me, City on the Hill has been known for big, clear preaching and big Sundays, and a strength area of ours in the past has not been the small group discipling area. And now you're saying, actually, this is where we're going to be putting emphasis and are putting emphasis. How have you changed the small, how has the small group ministry changed in this 12-month season? And how is it going to change?
For a long time, such a big emphasis on our Sunday gatherings. And I'm still very committed to that. I can't wait. I mean, there's something so special and biblical about God's people coming together around the word, celebrating Jesus in song, encouraging one another with prayer and fellowship together. I love the creativity in that. I absolutely love our Sundays. And they've been such a big part of City on a Hill's story. I think, you know, in just in Melbourne, we were seeing over like 1,000 people coming together in a theater, all about Jesus, unbelievers coming. And I'm like, praise God for that. But one of the challenges in that, particularly for a large and growing church, is there can be a big crowd, or and you don't necessarily know who's actually in and committed and part of the church, who's being cared for. It's easy to miss people. It's easy for people to fall through the cracks. It's easy to overlook the important deep work of discipleship. And I'm convinced that our Sundays are a key part of our discipleship, but they're not the sole story when it comes to making disciples. So I think what COVID has done with kind of ending Sunday services for a time is focused us and me on thinking about how do we go deep with people and prioritize discipleship. You know, I went to the gym recently and I was chatting to one of the PTs there, the personal trainers, and just realizing the gym was like empty. And I said to him, I said, what's it been like? How have you guys been handling life post-COVID? And he said, well, obviously the numbers are much lower than they were previously. And I said, oh, that's interesting. He said, but the people who had a program, the people who had a PT, the people who were part of a regular group, they're still here and they're still going. It's all the other people who haven't come back. And I said, you know, that's interesting. It's probably very similar to what I've experienced leading a church. The people who are connected, the people who are, you know, have a, in a sense, a program for discipleship or intentional in their discipleship, the people who are part of a community, a close community, for us, we call them gospel communities or small group, Bible study, whatever it is, they're the people who've remained. So there's this big emphasis, I think, at the moment on the core and investing in the core. And that's one of the things we're really prioritizing at the moment. How do we encourage our gospel community leaders? How do we support them? How do we call our people who are part of our community remain close in this time?
Mm. And in the last 15 months, how much in Melbourne of your groups has been face-to-face and how much of it has been online?
Melbourne has been in such a long lockdown. I just forget where we're up to and how many days it's been in. It, you know, it's been like a year. It feels like a year of being locked down in our house. You know, can't go beyond 5Ks and you have to wear a mask outside. So much of our experience at the moment feels like that. My last two birthdays have been in lockdown. And so
really the default then for a small group is to be an online small group rather than a,
That's right.
A face-to-face small group.
Yeah, that's right. So our Sundays have all been digital online and then through the week, all of our gospel communities have been largely, if not all exclusively online because most of the restrictions we had were like you couldn't meet in homes or anything like that. So they've all been online. And we saw, interestingly, we saw a really big increase in people attending gospel communities in this time. So that's been encouraging.
Really big increase in people attending gospel communities.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we've had the increase of massively increased reliability in attendance. So in the lockdown of the moment, I mean, if we're marking the roll week by week, generally the highest week attendance is the first week of the year. But yes. We've actually had higher attendance all through the lockdown than we had in real life on the first week of the year. But are you talking something bigger than that, like more people joining the church and joining the online community?
I certainly recall hearing and seeing, you know, more people engaging in gospel communities, maybe because and these were communities they were previously part of, so there's that. But the accessibility for some people was suitable. They could get to a gospel community easier because it was like one click and there they are. Now, obviously, it's not as good. I don't think it's as good as being together in the flesh.
And when you've had a full day of interacting online with people, you just kind of, I can't cope with it tonight. And
yeah, well, and that's the flip. We've also had people then found it hard because it's like over time, you know, there's that Zoom fatigue, and that also makes it hard for people to connect. But we also have had new people join who are exploring Christianity, which has been encouraging.
What about the hard conversations? I've not found myself, I mean, even yesterday I went for a walk with a woman because I wanted to have a really difficult conversation with her. And so the way to do it was by going for a walk in this COVID-safe moment. And I haven't had a hard conversation with somebody over the Zoom. How have you found that? Because you've had to do a lot more of it than us.
Yeah, it's a really good point you make, Dominic. And I think there's a sense in which Zoom is imperfect, and I would avoid, you know, any really hard conversation by Zoom because it's so impersonal that it's hard to clothe the situation. It doesn't mean you can't talk about difficult things, but if something's really hard and personal or confronting, then like you've just illustrated, where possible, doing it in person is always going to be best. And I always think sometimes even just breaking up the medium. So I actually prefer to talk to people over the phone than I do on Zoom these days. Because again, it's just a different medium. I'm not looking at a screen. We could both be outside, right? So, hey, let's go for a walk. You get your earpods. I'll get my AirPods on, and let's go for a walk together. And I can be walking, they're walking. We may be, you know, 10Ks away in different places, but at least it's a different environment. Sometimes that can help, but it's a time to be kind to one another. That's for sure. Those hard conversations are much harder to have.
I was talking last week with Rico Tice in London, and he was saying to me on the phone that he felt this is the that he's seen a hunger and openness for the gospel in this season that he hasn't seen in 30 years of ministry. I wouldn't have gone as strong on that here in Sydney, but I wondered what your sense was in Melbourne.
Yeah, I think it's a good observation, and I think you know, even I remember Nikki Gumbel saying, you know, greatest evangelistic opportunity. There's definitely a hunger and thirst in our culture and certainly in Melbourne at the moment. And again, that goes back to maybe I'd put it as like the exposing of our idols or the disruption in our culture. There's causing people, you know, disruption and change and difficulty causes people to ask big questions. And the world is pretty short on answers at the moment. This is where the gospel is so incredibly powerful and good. And so we've certainly seen that. We've seen lots of people who have connected in with us, whether it was an evangelistic course, whether it was joining us online, whether it was signing up for a gospel community, who have come in some sense out of nowhere, who have clearly, you know, God's obviously leading them and working in their heart, prompting them to ask big questions and to seek out answers. And, you know, as the Bible tells us, God has written eternity on the hearts of all people. And so we know that everybody in our city right now is seeking after that which the world can't fill. They're looking for eternity. They're looking for eternal answers. Melbourne is a beautiful city. It's a great city. And there was so much previously that you could just fill your heart with and keep going in life. That's not the case now. As I said, it's a bit like Gotham City at the moment. It's challenging. And so where do you go for the answers? Where do you go for that which your heart longs for the love you need, for the hope you desire, for the joy that you seek, for the truth that you, like, where do you go for those things? Well, the gospel is our answer and our hope. So I'm certainly seeing that, and I'm encouraged by that. I think this is a time of opportunity. So, yes, it's a difficult time. It's a hard time. It's a dark time, but it's also a time in which the light of the gospel shines brightly. How you connect with people is a difficult piece, but where possible, we're trying to open as many doors as we can.
Now, where we are in Sydney, when we'd come out of lockdown last year, we'd actually grown in the evenings 20% on the year before, and we were almost back to where we were on Sunday mornings as well. But it's feeling today, as we start to think about restarting in a month, 3 months' time, whenever it's going to be, it's feeling today like people are going to be slower in coming back to big gatherings. What's your crystal ball on this? Because you've big gatherings has been part of your thing.
Yeah, that's right. I think it depends a little bit, or quite a bit, on the size of a church, number one, and perhaps the location of a church. I think if you're a smaller church, then it's probably a little bit more realistic for a local pastor to get around and keep people walking together. You know, you visualize a pastor with a sheep at the moment, and they're trying to, when it's a smaller flock, then I think it's, I've seen this across even our movement with different churches, it's easier for them to remain connected and make sure people are moving along together. I think if it's larger, that becomes, the complexity in that is much harder. And for us at least, and I think this will be true for a lot of medium to large churches, if the lockdown extends over a longer period of time, I think you can just anticipate it's going to be slow going coming back, at least in that front. It's going to be slow going for a host of different reasons. We found a lot of our people had just left Melbourne. At one point, we tallied up throughout our lockdown something like 100 to 200 people who were once living in Melbourne and attending our church were now had either moved to the country or moved to interstate or gone back overseas.
But were still digitally part of church with you?
It would vary. Some of them would, yeah, absolutely be connecting with us still digitally. Some, which we would encourage, had connected in with new churches because they're in a new place in a new context. And so there's definitely that. There's definitely the fact that people's habits have changed. So we're all, you know, creatures of habit. And if you're used to going to church every Sunday and you look at your clock and I go to church every Sunday and that's what I do, that's changed. And so people have filled their lives with different things. Now, they might have filled it with watching digital, or maybe they didn't, or maybe they watched their digital service at a different time, but people's habits have changed. So whereas people may have come to church 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 4, maybe they're starting to come 1 out of 4. And then, of course, there are a lot of people who are still very anxious about COVID. You know, the press, at least in Melbourne, and I can't speak for New South Wales, though I do track the media, is not as, I would say, not as aggressive in this front, has been so marked by fear and concern and really making people terrified about COVID. Now, I'm not a COVID denier. You know, I've had my vaccines, right? I get it, right? But some of the media, as you would know, Dominic, like they live and breathe off fear. It's the one industry that's just doing very well in this time because, you know, here we were probably not reading The Age or whatever it might be, and now like we're watching it every day. And so the headlines are so fear-induced that I think a lot of people are very nervous about coming back to gathering. So there's just perhaps some, I could probably list off a whole bunch of others, of reasons why I think it will take time. We noticed it was very slow going, but then it started to build. So I don't want to be all doom and gloom. People then started to come back and started to come back. Unfortunately, we had another lockdown, so that changed things again. But people do begin to come back out, which is good and healthy and right.
And so what's your plan of what you're going to do?
Yeah, well, I'm very convinced that Sunday gatherings are so core to who we are. You know, we are God's people gathered together, and that when we gather together, we are, you know, living out our reality as God's people around God's word, worshiping Jesus. So I'm very committed to doing that. We just have to be very flexible.
Have you given any thought to the question of requiring vaccinations that's being discussed?
No, I haven't given thought. It's concerning, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's just concerning. I need to give that some more thought. And I think it's, you know, I saw that there's a lot of work in the UK at the moment from a lot of pastors getting together to really push back on that level of control from the government. And I think it's concerning. And, you know, I've been vaccinated. I posted that on social media. I had people leave from our church because I did. So I get, I was probably a bit naive in putting up a post. So I get that it's divisive and challenging. And, you know, and yet here I am saying I was vaccinated and I'd encourage other people to do it. But at the same time, I do get nervous about that level of government control, particularly when it comes to, the rights of God's people to gather together and to sing and to pray. So only early thoughts, Dominic. So I need to prayerfully consider that more. What are you feeling? What do you see?
I think it's difficult. I mean, I'm totally for us being able to make the decision rather than the government imposing it on us. But then the question is, what decision would we make? And we are in the business of ministering to people, and we want people to feel safe when they come to our thing. We want their teenagers to feel safe. We want them to feel like, well, the more people who are vaccinated, it does seem that it will be safer. And yeah. So if we can encourage a culture where people willingly choose to get vaccinated, I think that's probably the best idea. And so 12 weeks ago when I got my first AstraZeneca shot, I didn't post on social media. I just quietly did it. But on Saturday when I got my second one, I did post it on social media because I thought for our church to get back to face-to-face gatherings, the more of us who get vaccinated, then the more likely that is to happen sooner. And that's going to be better for us in terms of being able to preach Christ, that if we're all able to gather and we're all safe to gather, then that's going to be better. And so I thought the more positive voluntary leadership that I could demonstrate, perhaps the better. Yeah, that's my kind of working theory at the moment.
Did you get any pushback from that?
I haven't had any pushback from any members of our church. And one of the difficulties is in this part of the world, I'm sure it's the case, the younger adults have had very confusing mixed messaging from the government. So they were told, you don't have to think about it for months and this is not the vaccine for you. And then now they're being told, you've got to think about it this week and this is the vaccine for you. And so, I mean, that's a difficult messaging process. I took to heart what John McLean said to me a couple of weeks ago in a discussion here, which was encourage your people to go and talk to their doctor about these issues, because the doctor is the person they would regularly trust for a discussion about issues to do with their body. They'd trust me for issues to do with their spirituality, but they'd trust their doctor for issues to do with their body. And so I figured, well, if I was able to encourage them to go and have a conversation with their doctor about their body issues, then that would probably be a positive. Yeah. When it's all done, what do you think the big lessons for us as God's people will be?
I love that question. When it's all done, I was just thinking this morning how important it is for us to be a reflective people at this time. You know, whenever you read a Bible story, it doesn't matter who it is, Jonah, Esther, Paul, you know, they're always in the moment. They're always seeking to understand and serve God, reach their culture, and yet, at least from their perspective, they don't necessarily know how the story is going to end, or how their choices are going to matter, or what their faith will lead to. We do, because we read their story. And so for me, I think, as you've asked, it's so important in this time just to step out a little bit and ask, how do we want the story to read? What kind of person do I want to be through these years? Because this is a really unique time. I think we've, at least in my generation, you know, we've lived our Christian story in a culture of plenty and prosperity, and you know, Australia is such a great, great country to grow up in and live in, and so much freedom and all of these things. Right now, this feels like a season of trial and testing. And so, to me, I hope and pray that in this particular moment, in this particular season, we will be a people known for loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor, you know, as ourselves. It's like, it's in this moment that that's really put to the test. You know, we're seeing across the world and in our own nation right now, a lot of fear, a lot of hostility, a lot of division, a lot of infighting, of all times, and certainly of all people, this is the moment where I feel I want to be counted in this moment as one of those people who really sought to love God and to love others in this time, to be found faithful, to be found seeking after the holiness of God and trusting Him. Not just trusting Him, you know, on the mountaintop moments, but trusting God when you're face down in the valley. So that would be my hope for myself and my hope for this season, that the church and pastors and leaders would be, you know, what does Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God. That I think is so, so simple on one hand and yet so, so significant. That's what I'm hoping will happen through this time, and as a result of this, we'll be found that seeking God and pursuing Him and using this as an opportunity to go deep with Him.
Great. Guy, thanks so much for talking to us on The Pastor's Heart.
Thank you.
My guest on The Pastor's Heart, Guy Mason. He's the senior pastor of City on a Hill, the network of churches coming out of Melbourne, but also including Geelong and the Gold Coast and Brisbane and us soon to be Wollongong. Thanks for joining us, and we will look forward to your company next week on The Pastor's Heart.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.